Hello, and welcome to the podcast version of COS Live. You can watch the original live broadcasts on Convention of States Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, and X. And now, here's COS Live.
Well, hello, COS supporters, and welcome to a special edition of COS Live. We're going to share with our viewers recent footage of the Maryland House of Delegates debating and voting on Convention of States. That's right, on April 6th, there was a vote on Convention of States Action's Article 5 resolution in Maryland. This was thanks to a shrewd procedural move by Delegate Mark Fisher, our primary sponsor in the Maryland House. Rita, can you get our viewers caught up on what Delegate Mark Fisher did?
Of course. Well, first, let me just give some background for viewers who might need an overall refresher. 19 states have already passed this resolution calling for an Article 5 convention for proposing amendments to the U.S. Constitution on three topics: fiscal restraints, term limits, and limits on the federal scope and jurisdiction. The U.S. Constitution requires two-thirds of the states to call such a convention, so that's 34 states to call. So we need just 15 more states to call the first ever Article 5 convention and finally rein in Washington, D.C. 21 additional states have introduced our resolution for consideration this year, and Maryland is one of those. But how did we get to this point in Maryland? Well, the Convention of States Maryland Citizen Activist Team has worked really hard to build support across the state and in the legislature. For years, they've been showing up in droves to pack committee rooms, talk to legislators one-on-one, and testify in favor of the Convention of States resolution. Andrew, more than 32,000 Marylanders have signed the official Convention of States petition asking their state legislators to vote yes for COS. Now, the COS resolution, unfortunately, had been stuck in committee for years there in Maryland. In fact, the committee chair has just refused to even hold a vote on COS, despite the overwhelming public testimony in favor of the resolution and all these COS volunteers showing up year after year in droves to testify and show their support. Now, what you're going to see in Maryland is fascinating. It's our lead sponsor in the Maryland House of Delegates, Delegate Mark Fisher. He's going to make a substitute amendment on the floor of the House on a different Article 5 effort known as the Equal Rights Amendment. Some of you may be familiar with it. The ERA was a constitutional amendment that was proposed by Congress back in 1972, but they gave a 7-year deadline for states to ratify that proposal, and that didn't happen. So the ERA, guys, is officially dead. However, now and then, state legislatures like to just vote on it anyway, even though it legally would not carry the force of law. So it's really ironic that the Maryland legislature will advance a bill that essentially means nothing and accomplishes nothing. But for years, the committee has refused to hold a vote on COS Action's Article 5 resolution, which would be doing something legitimate and substantive to affect change at the national level. Now, spoiler alert, the vote was not successful. We did not pass yet in the Maryland House. But success doesn't come overnight in any legislature. And this was really a huge step for the Maryland team.
Thanks, Rita. Well, with that context, now we're going to play the debate for our viewers. It's about 15 minutes long, so not too long. Stay tuned after the vote because we're going to interview a citizen activist with the Convention of States Maryland team who acts as the he acts as a district captain and has other several volunteer roles. But he also is the communications director for Delegate Fisher. His name's Will Zwart. I'm very interested, Rita, to get his reaction on this event and just to hear the plan forward for the Maryland team. With that, Producer G, let's let that video roll.
Amendment number 583628/1.
Amendment number one.
Move so much be considered the reading of the amendment, Madam Speaker.
So ordered.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This amendment is essentially another resolution for the Convention of States. Article 5 Convention of States to the Constitution is a bipartisan movement. The Convention of States Amendment has been introduced in this legislature for many, many years and has never been voted upon in committee. Here's what the Convention of States Amendment does. It implements fiscal restraints on the federal government. The current federal deficit is $34 trillion. Limits the power and jurisdiction of the federal government and its bureaucracy, and limits the terms of office for officials of the federal government and the United States Congress. Why is the majority party afraid? What are they afraid of in relation to the Convention of States? After all, SJ1 here on the board invokes Article 5 of the United States Constitution as well to amend it and authorizes the states to hold a convention of states to amend the Constitution. Why would Congress ever impose term limits on itself, let alone impose fiscal restraints on themselves? After all, when you can print money, you can buy as many votes and as much support as you want. Yet the Convention of States is never brought up for a simple vote in the committee. How is this equal rights? Every bill in every committee should be voted upon up or down. That's why we were sent here. When a bill is not voted upon, a sponsor's constituents are not being allowed adequate representation by the process, by the chair, by the committee process, and by this legislature. How is that equal rights? When individuals who spent time testifying, salt of the earth individuals, Democrats and Republicans, because it's a nonpartisan movement, are disrespected in the committee, sorry, that's not equal rights. I shouldn't have to even offer this amendment on the floor because it should have been voted upon either up or down in committee. That would have been equal rights to the citizens of Maryland and to the process. Here's the thing. Equal rights are important for everyone, and I really have to question why anyone would think that we're going to be able to pass a bill that's going to force equal rights when the citizens of the state aren't even granted that. I'm reminded of the George Orwell quote in Animal Farm, where he comments on the hypocrisy of governments that proclaim the absolute equality of their citizens, but give power and privileges to a small elite. Quote, "All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others." And I just say with this, with the virtue signaling that I've heard on this floor about your desire for equal rights, if you believed in equal rights, you wouldn't have some legislative districts with one member and each person gets to vote once, and some with three and each citizen gets to vote three times. That's not equal. Spare me. For all those reasons, Madam Speaker, I'd like to move this amendment for the Convention of States, this resolution, which amends to this bill, SJ1, and calls for limits on the federal bureaucracy, term limits for Congress, and fiscal restraint on the federal government. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Thank you to the gentleman for providing his amendment in plenty of time. And I would ask the body to reject this amendment. The gentleman's resolution is still in the Rules Committee, along with other things, and there's no need to consider it along with this and muddy the waters. I would ask you to please resist the amendment.
Okay. Madam Speaker.
Gentleman from Cal.
I appreciate it, Madam Speaker, I do. The gentleman's bill has been in the committee for 7 years, waiting for the chairwoman to actually vote on it and bring it up for a vote. I'm sorry, that's not equal rights.
Madam Speaker.
General Lenny from Hartford.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just want to rise to support my friend from Calvert. I think this is a really reasonable amendment. As he mentioned, this is a bipartisan effort all over the country. It's going to do structurally the same thing that this amendment is going to do, which is going to essentially start a convention of states on this topic. This would include the topic of fiscal restraint on our federal government, which I think all of us can agree needs to happen before our great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren are bankrupted. But it also includes a piece about term limits for our federal officials. I don't have to tell anybody on this floor in any party. We have all watched formerly grand members of our party in Congress publicly deteriorate because they have refused to let go of the power that they hold. We have all watched people that we deeply respected in our respective parties absolutely lose themselves if they have aged on the public stage. It is nothing short of elder abuse. It is totally inappropriate, and I don't think most of us have enjoyed watching that happen to the people, the men and the women that we admire. That is totally bipartisan. It is not a Republican or Democrat thing, or independent for the Bernie supporters. It's not. Something needs to be done. Something needs to be said. It is broken. It even breaks my heart when I see it happen to a Democrat. I'm not gonna lie. It's one of the saddest things I've seen, is watching someone who I may have disagreed with deeply, but who should not have been publicly paraded around on a stage as they have declined so severely in their mental health and their well-being. So that's what this amendment to this amendment actually allows us to do. It allows us to say, we thank you for your service, it's time for you to bow out before you lose yourself and the rest of us have to watch, the entire world has to watch. Because it's happening, it's endemic in Congress right now. And I think most of the people on this floor probably agree with me on this one topic and not many others. I think we can all agree that this is appropriate, and like the good gentleman said, this is not a partisan bill whatsoever. Many, many deep blue states have already moved this bill, and it's something that needs to happen soon, I think, because what we're seeing in Congress is sad, frankly, and embarrassing.
Gentleman from Anne Arundel.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just a quick point on this. First of all, I want to thank the floor leader on the bill because she did make an excellent point. All we're looking for is equal justice under the law, equal application under the law. And striking to me because about 15 minutes ago, we just passed HB 449, which says we're only going to grant funds to this group of people in this area. That's not equal application. We all want equal application. And I support this amendment, but the Convention of States does try to rein in fiscal responsibility. The debt is out of control, and that is agreed upon on both sides of the aisle. Nobody even argues it anymore. How can we say we're treating our children and our grandchildren and future generations equally if we're saddling them with this debt that is going to crush future generations and this country? All we're wanting is an equal opportunity to try to rein in national spending. And for that, I support and push this amendment.
On the amendment, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Roll call. Clerk, take the call.
Madam Speaker.
To explain my vote. Madam Speaker.
2 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This makes a lot of sense because this amendment is actually calling on Congress to do something where the Senate Joint Resolution 1, affirming the Equal Rights Amendment, is dead, and it was Congress telling the states to affirm this, and they did not. They missed the 7-year deadline, and so this makes sense. Let's tell Congress to call a convention and address these very important problems.
Is there any other further debate? Explain your clerk will take the call. There being 32 In the affirmative, 98. In the negative, the amendment fails.
You've been watching footage from April 6th of this year inside the Maryland House of Delegates as Delegate Mark Fisher forced a vote on our Article 5 application, which has been adopted by 19 states so far. Rita, let's bring in Will Zwart, who is a volunteer with the Convention of States Maryland team as a content writer, a district captain, and a telepatriot. Will, it's a pleasure to have you join the program. I want to get your take on what happened, because you have a behind-the-scenes perspective. But not only are you a citizen activist with the Convention of States Maryland team and part of the National Emerging Leaders Program, but you are actually the communications director for Delegate Fisher. Did you and your team expect this to happen? Did you see this coming? And tell us what your reaction was.
We had a little bit of a heads up. Obviously, being in the office, we knew sort of that he was about to do it. But really, it was just he saw an opportunity with SJ1, the name of the legislation, and he saw that it was, germane with Article 5. And he knew that based on experience, of course, that we probably wouldn't see the resolution come out of committee, as has been the same for previous years. So he played the political game. He knows it very well. He's a very seasoned delegate, and he saw an opportunity and went for it.
Well, Will, I just happened to get a text message notifying me that this was about to happen right before the debate happened. So I was able to tune in and watch it online, and I was just amazed. Delegate Fisher did an amazing job. I was so proud of him. You work for Delegate Fisher. Why do you think he felt compelled to make this procedural move on the floor, and why now?
Delegate Fisher is a big believer in Article 5. He's been an advocate for Convention of States in the House of Delegates for several years. He's been a champion, the primary sponsor. And he firmly believes that that this is one of the most essential pieces of legislation that needs to be passed. So he wanted just to take advantage of every opportunity to see to it that Maryland becomes part of the group of states calling for this. And as I said before, he's been trying to get it passed for several years. So he's very familiar with kind of the opposition, the resistance to it. And he is prepared to do pretty much whatever it takes to get it passed, whether that's an amendment, whether that's the actual resolution through committee. But he's a strong advocate and a strong believer in Convention of States, and he is prepared to get it done.
Well, Will, we certainly love our champions and how shrewd they are and how they're able to do procedural moves like this. Were there any moments that stood out to you during the debate, and particularly with the speeches from some of Fisher's fellow delegates?
I really appreciated the fact that he was able to present the Convention of States argument on the floor and actually get that vote. I certainly wasn't expecting anyone else to stand up and advocate for it. So I was very glad that we got to see that. And votes like this are very important, whether they are successful or not, because they reveal who the actual people are who are willing to stand up and advocate for the legislation and champion the cause. And there were actually some votes that we were a little surprised by. So that gives us things to do in the future for sure.
Yeah, I know it is so helpful just to have votes on record, to have something official that tells you, where you might have allies that you weren't counting on and where you have people that maybe should be with you that you just need to go spend time and talk to. So with that in mind, Will, what happens next for the Maryland team? Are there any particular events or projects that your team is excited about right now?
Well, we're moving into our events season right now, so we're gearing up to outreach to the various fairs and gun shows and things like that. The Oyster Festivals are pretty big in Maryland, so we're focused on that. And thanks to the vote that we finally received, this is the first time that anything Convention of States related has actually been voted on, so we're all very pumped up about that. And now that we know who really supports COS, we can start going into those districts, targeting those specific legislative districts and getting active in those areas that we need to be active in, start to think more strategically about that.
And Will, for any Marylanders who might be watching this program right now, what would you tell them if they wanted to know how they could get involved, what they could do to help with this effort in Maryland?
Well, obviously the first step is to sign the petition and then start to get involved in the team. We're a small but very tight-knit group. And just to become a volunteer, become a district captain, that's the most important role with COS. We have a lot of different roles. For example, I started out as a state content writer, just bringing my writing abilities to the team. And everyone has something that they can bring to the cause of liberty, whether that's writing, whether that's social media, whether that's just calling your legislator and advocating for it. When legislators hear from their constituents and hear that this is something that a lot of people want, which it is, it's completely nonpartisan. Those legislators will hear that, they will listen to them. And even just so they know that there are a ton of people, because we have like 32,000 petition signers in Maryland, and that's growing by the day. This is truly an essential cause to champion in every state. I'm a big believer in it. I would just encourage everyone to get as involved as possible.
Well, you just mentioned a moment ago your beginnings with the Maryland team as a state content writer. I'm wondering if you can give us and the viewers a little bit more of your COS story, because we've seen you testify in hearings. You've produced hilarious videos parodying Congress and COS opponents. But tell the viewers, how did you get started with Convention of States? How did you get plugged into the team? And what led you to want to join the cause for Article 5? And also, can you throw in how you got, how you started working with Delegate Fisher as well?
Yeah, so I actually first signed the petition back in 2021. I was starting to really discover my political zeal back then, just because of everything that was going on. So I found the petition on social media, signed it. About a month later, my family pointed out that, hey, they have a state content writer position. Since fiction writing is my trade, I decided, no, I'll give it a shot. I'm sort of an introvert by nature, but I just decided, why not? And no less than the state director of Maryland, Steve Patton, reached out to me. And before I knew it, I was on board, and I was got through COS University and was writing blogs. And then suddenly I'm a district captain and I'm an intern. And the more I was involved with Convention of States, the more I really believed in it and wanted to be a part of it, because it gives me so much hope. I'm a member of the Gen Z generation. I'm 24 years old. So, with the state of the country right now, it is very daunting. There's a lot of things you hear about in the old America that are no longer around. And in some cases, I didn't actually get to enjoy those freedoms that my parents and grandparents did. And then here is not only a real solution. It's not just a vague, oh, vote good people in, or, maybe get out to fill in those ballots or anything. It's an actual tangible solution to the real cause of a lot of the problems in America. But also, it's practically gift wrapped to us by the founding fathers. There it is. It's right there in Article 5. It's been there the whole time. And, I sometimes wondered, didn't the founders kind of anticipate that maybe the federal government might become too tyrannical? And turns out they did. And the same guy who gave us the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, the most popular parts of the Constitution, also gave us Article 5. So I've just been it's been a huge blessing in my life. I've tried to pour into it as much as it's poured into me. And it's been beneficial, not only, for my future, but also for me personally, of course, because Mark Fisher, being the COS sponsor, that's actually how we connected. I was testifying for stuff. So we ran into each other on several of the COS activities. And then suddenly he says, hey, you're pretty good at this social media and communication stuff. I want to hire you as my media director. It's like, yes, absolutely. So COS has just been a huge blessing in my life.
That's so great, Will. I really just love your story. I think that's all the time we have for today, but I want to thank you for being with us, and thank you for all the work that you're doing there in Maryland for Convention of States Action. We're so blessed to have you. It's so great that you are right there in Delegate Fisher's office as well, working for him. So please also pass on our deep thanks and admiration to Delegate Fisher. We're so grateful for the effort effort he's making there, and I believe it will eventually pay off. Will, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Well, Rita, it's time for us to go ahead and sign off. Our viewers can join us again next Monday because a committee of the Colorado House will hear public testimony on the COS Action Article 5 application. Mark Meckler is expected to give expert testimony. So join us April 22nd at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, that's April 22nd at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time for live coverage of the legislative hearing. Make sure that you subscribe so that you don't miss anything with Convention of States. We're on Rumble, X, YouTube, Facebook, or go to www.conventionofstates.com/COS live. If you want to be part of history and support your local COS team to achieve the victories our nation needs, go to www.conventionofstates.com/act. We need you to take action today. Until then, Rita, we've got a country to save, so it's time for us to get back to work. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to today's program. For information, please visit www.conventionofstates.com/pod. That's www.conventionofstates.com/POD.